Do you love your church today? Amen. It's what we're teaching last week and this week and the next couple of weeks. I love my church. We began this series last week, and honestly, I was only able to get to the first point of that message, and I appreciate us kind of picking up where we left off last Sunday, because we're talking about how to become a that church. What is a that church? I know that everyone is into labels and what denomination are you, or who do you belong to, or how can we define you? Because if we can put a label on you, then it kind of gives us an idea who you are and what you believe and what your history is. And I appreciate all that. I understand all of that. But we're not really into labels here at the church. This really is a melting pot of all different backgrounds and denominations and traditions and people, you know, that have just experienced so many different facets of the Lord. I know a few moments ago, with the presence of God moving in such a powerful way, there are people that are like, let's go, step on the gas, this is awesome. You know, and there's others that are like, woo, all right, I'm nervous. And that's all right, it's okay for you to be nervous, because you're experiencing something, feeling something, seeing something that maybe you have never seen before. That makes a lot of people nervous. I love that. I love the fact that we're not all one flavor. Who wants to go to Baskin Robbins and only have one choice? No, you go there because there's 31 different choices. You don't want to go to lunch today and only have one item to pick from on the menu. It may be Brussels sprouts or something that you don't like. You want to have a variety. So I love different people and different backgrounds and different emotional makeups coming into the house. That is a that church. That's what a that church is. Remember Matthew 16 and verse 18, Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell are not going to prevail against it. Jesus is going to build his church, not Daryl, not Kristen, not any particular leader in the house, not any particular worshiper leading on stage. Jesus is going to build this church. And that's important, because we're not trying to build it on any one personality. I understand we have pastors and leaders, and all of that is right. There is order, and we do things decent and in order. But Jesus is going to get the glory, and Jesus is going to build his church. Because if Jesus builds the church, then hell cannot stop it. Hell will do everything it possibly can and try everything that it possibly can, but it can't be stopped. That's why you got to make sure that Jesus is building your life, building your marriage, building your finances, building the raising of your kids, that Jesus is involved in every aspect of it. Because if Jesus is involved, if Jesus is at the center, then no matter what hell does, whatever it is that you're dedicating to the Lord cannot be defeated. Does anybody believe the word of the Lord today? So we want Jesus to build the church. But Acts chapter 2, just to recap for a moment, so that everyone is on the same page with where we are in the message. They stood, Acts 2 and verse 12, they stood there amazed and perplexed. What can this mean? They asked each other. But others in the crowd ridiculed them, saying, they're just drunk, that's all. Then Peter stepped forward and the 11 other apostles and shouted to the crowd, listen carefully, all of you fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem. Make no mistake about this. These people are not drunk, as some of you are assuming. 9 o'clock in the morning is much too early for that. Verse 16, no, this is that. Everyone say that. This is that that was spoken by the prophet Joel. What did Joel say? Goes on in verse 17, that in the last days I will pour out of my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. In those days I will pour out my spirit even on my servants, men and women alike. They will prophesy. So we're talking about how we can become a that church. And where we left off last week was the first of three pillars of a that church. We're trying to build that kind of church where the Lord can move and work and heal and deliver and restore people and put people back together and mend broken hearts and release people from the bondage of the enemy, set people free from addiction. That is what a that church looks like. And the first pillar in a that church is praise. We preached about that last Sunday. Praise has to be a pillar of that church. And there were 3 points about praise. Number one, praise. We praise based on choice and not feeling. Number two, we praise with everything that we have. Number three, we praise expecting God to respond. We praise anticipating and believing that something is going to happen. I'm going to tell you the value of the last little while in the service. That moment to praise, that moment to worship. You say, well, I love when services like that happen. I love when the Lord just breaks in or just does a work. It's beautiful and it's so special. Listen, that needs to become the norm at the Church Covington. It needs to become the norm. And really, we have not seen, our eyes have not seen, and our ears have not heard, and our minds have not even imagined, if I could just bring an old scripture into modern terminology, our eyes have not seen what God could do if we would get into that vein from the moment our service begins at 10 a.m. Some of you didn't realize we started at 10 a.m. Oh, I'm already preaching. If we would get into that zone, get into that place from the moment the service begins. I don't want you to move like that because Pastor Daryl comes on stage and begins to help the team lead worship. That needs to be something that we're already in that vein and already in that zone. But here's the deal. If we're fighting hell all week last week and we're facing every kind of challenge, and I know we are, I know you are, and I know that I am, but I can't wait until I get to church to process everything that happened. I've got to spend some time. I've got to get alone somewhere on a Saturday evening. I've got to spend some time somewhere on Sunday morning. No, it doesn't work if I just roll out of bed and brush one of my teeth and just find something to put over my shoulders and come into the presence of the Lord. Then I'm going to need a whole 30 minutes for somebody to kind of beat the hell off of me and to try to get me to believe and to have faith again. But if I just wake up a little bit earlier on Sunday morning, or while I'm driving to church, I'm not bothering with talk radio or news or what everybody else is talking about, but I'm saying, Lord, I want this to be the kind of day that I never forget. I want this to be a day in your presence. I want this to be a day in your house where lives are changed and people are set free and people are healed. That happens if you and I do the work. If we come praising, expecting God to respond. Does anybody feel like joining that serve team, that worship team, that team where we anticipate and believe that God is able to do anything? I believe it. I believe it with all of my heart that God can move and God can work. You can do it from home as well. You can worship right there where you are. I saw the picture of the sweet church mother. I wish I had it to show because it's fantastic. But she's been worshiping from home for the last year. But every Sunday she gets up and puts on full church dress, hat included. She just looks beautiful and gorgeous from head to toe, and she sits in her little recliner and she has church online. I get it. We had church online for a number of weeks, and there were plenty of Sundays that I just worshiped in pajamas. It felt awkward. It felt weird. I didn't get up and put on church dress, but you can do it right where you are, even if that's what you're doing in this season. You can make the most of it and make the best of it. Why? Because His presence deserves our very best. Is anyone committed to the pillar of praise? Lord, it wouldn't take much just to preach on that pillar a little longer, because I feel it, and I'm telling you, it is a pillar that is going to change the trajectory of this house. When praise is established, we don't have to be cheer-led, and we don't have to be convinced, and we don't have to be prodded or pushed. But if we worship the Lord with our whole heart, because we know how good He's been to us, we're absolutely convinced that if the Lord had not been on our side, if the Lord didn't wake us up this morning — I'll find your cliche here in just a moment — I'm convinced I've got to worship Him because He deserves my very best. That's the pillar of praise. That's the pillar of praise. And we need the pillar of praise to be established. But let me move to the second pillar. The second pillar in that church is the pillar of prosperity. The pillar of prosperity. Now don't get sideways on that word, because probably the thought that comes to your mind is what you've heard on Christian television, or that mail that you get constantly from some ministry somewhere that always seems to have a fresh gimmick or a fresh twist. But I'm not talking about the weirdness that the world has attached to the word prosperity, and it's given the church a bad name. It's not Christian TV prosperity that has been abused, but that's not what we're about here at the Church Covington. We believe in generosity. We believe in giving, and we're going to talk about those things because they are important. But I'm talking about prospering in my health, prospering in my relationships, prospering in my life, as well as prospering financially. I heard about the church that said if you give $1,000, you can pick 3 hymns. And I don't know, people were a little upset about the direction of the music, but little old lady come running from the back, and she was waving her check. She said, "I got $1,000. I'll take him, him, and him." Not that kind of prosperity. Because the meaning, believe it or not, has nothing to do with money. It's much more to do with the condition of your soul and the condition of your physical well-being. The word prosper is the word salak, which means to push forward. The idea of the word prosper, or this salak, to push forward, is that you're going to obtain some things by your own hands. You're going to get up Monday morning and you're going to go to work, and you're going to work by the skill or by the trade or by the knowledge that you have gained. Maybe you went to college to learn your trade, or maybe you've just been on the job for years and you've been mentored and skilled by some of the best, and now that's become a business for you, and it prospers you and it blesses you. But the idea behind the word is that you're going to have some ability on your own, but that God is going to give you a push. He's going to give you a push that puts your ability over the top. It puts your skill over the top. It's going to set what you do apart from everyone else that's doing the same thing. I just need a push in my life, because here's what I know about godly prosperity. He will put you in places that you never could have gotten into on your own. He'll put you in environments. He'll put you in rooms. He'll put you in circumstances and situations that leave you wondering, how in the world did this happen? How did this door open? How did this opportunity just fall into my lap? It was the prosperity of the Lord. How did our church get blessed with that? How did that happen to it? It is the prosperity of God. He pushes us. I'm here to tell you today that he'll push your marriage. He'll push your kids. He'll push your business. Is there anybody in this room that would just wave your hand and say, I need a push in my life? Sometimes we feel like we're spinning our wheels. Sometimes we feel as though we're doing everything we possibly can do and we're trying our very hardest, but we're not getting anywhere. And what we need is a push. What we need is the Lord to just come in and make the difference in our lives. Come in and help us. Come in and make that way in our lives, to give us that push that we need, that push that we are looking for. Genesis chapter 26, verses 12 and 13. Then Isaac sowed in that land, and he reaped in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. Notice verse 13. The man began to prosper, and he continued prospering until he became very prosperous. That's awesome to me. It's powerful to me. He found good ground and he began to sow into it. He began to work it. He began to serve it. He began to prepare it. He began to do everything that he could do to make a difference in that land. And the same year, that means you can put a clock on the Lord. You know what? I'm going to believe that God is going to move and the Lord is going to work on my behalf. I'm believing that before 2021 is up, I'm believing that before this year is up, God is going to answer that prayer and the Lord is going to move in that way in my life. You can put him on a clock, because it is his desire to bless us in profound and powerful ways. The man began to prosper, and he continued prospering until he became very prosperous. Proverbs 11 and 25 says, the generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. 3 John 1 and 2, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. Because he wants you to work with more joy, with more excitement than everyone else, so that you can bring joy to everyone else. He doesn't want you to be miserable on the job. Doesn't want you to be unhappy on the job. Well, Pastor Darrell, that's where you lose me, because I'm miserable every day that I go to work. I'm unhappy every day that I go to work. On the drive, I just feel this anxiety and feel this misery. Then it's time to pray about that. It's time to pray for God to open a new door. It's time for God to move a supervisor out of the way, or to change something so that you are not living miserable about being prospered. Does that make sense to anybody today? Maybe I need to go back to praise. That was more fun a moment ago, but I promise you, you need this word as well. Because biblical prosperity means that I have more than I need so that I can make an eternal difference in the lives of others. It's what biblical prosperity. I have more than I have more joy than I need so that I can bring joy to someone else's life. I have more resource than I need so that I can make a difference in someone else's life. I've got more money than I need so that I can make a difference in someone else's life. I don't want any prosperity to make me selfish. I don't want any prospering in my life to cause me to hoard or to hide the goodness of God in my life. No, he's blessed me so that I can make the eternal difference in the lives of others. That brings us to point number one under the pillar of prosperity. God blesses us to be a blessing. He blesses us to be a blessing. Genesis 12 and 2, I will bless you and you will be a blessing to others. I need more so that I can be a blessing. Because the truth is, you can't give what you don't have. That's why God needs you to have. He needs you to have. You can't do what you don't possess. And so he needs you to have something in your life. There are many people that are stuck. They're stuck because they cannot earn, they cannot get, they cannot receive what they are not planting. And really, that's a whole another message that I need to teach as well. But hear me, God wants to bless you so that you can be a blessing. If I have nothing, then I need to reevaluate why I have nothing. Am I putting his principles to work? Am I honoring the tithe? Am I honoring the generosity opportunity? Am I sowing something, putting something into the ground? Because you cannot get a harvest if you do not plant seed. You can't get a harvest if you don't plant seed. I can go out to the missions garden. You can drive around the building. They've got it resting. This is the seventh year, and it's on a sabbatical season. We're planting across the street at the other property. But you can drive by just for the visual today and just pause there in front of the missions garden back on the back side of the TAB building. And you can get out of your car, and you can stand there at the fence, and you can speak to the ground. I want you to bring forth cucumbers. No cucumbers are coming. Ground, I want you to bring forth collard greens. I want you to bring forth tomatoes. It's not going to happen. You can speak until you are hoarse and out of breath. Nothing is going to happen until you put seed in the ground. It's the same with my finances. It's the same with prosperity. Nothing is going to happen until I sow something, until I put something in the ground, until I bring a seed and bring a sacrifice into the presence of the Lord. Now he has something to work on. Now he has something to grow. Now he has something to build on. God blesses us to be a blessing. Number two, when we bless others, God takes care of our needs. When we bless others, God takes care of our needs. I've said it many times, it's become a life statement for me, but if we will make his business our business, then he will make our business his business. If we will make his business, in other words, if I will put him first, then he will put us first. Make sure that we have what we need and what we are wanting and desiring in our lives. Luke 18, verses 29 and 30, I guarantee you this. Jesus said, anyone who gives up anything for the kingdom of God will certainly receive many times more in this life and will receive eternal life in the next world to come. Jesus said, I guarantee this. This is a law that if you give anything in my name, If you do anything for me or to build my kingdom, I'm not only going to establish you in heaven, but I'm going to bless you in this life as well. I believe that. I believe that for our church. It's not God's will for us to struggle. It's not his will for us to struggle as a church. God is helping us. I'm telling you, God is helping us in incredible ways. Just a couple of weeks ago, I had a very challenging week. I had just a very challenging week. Just felt like the enemy was knocking on my door all week long. And I got out of one meeting that was difficult and challenging and left me scratching my head. And no more than that meeting ended, I felt the Lord speak to me right there in the middle of the office. And he said, what you think is a negative thing, what you think is a bad thing, I'm about to show you how quickly I can work on behalf of this house. You say, Pastor Dale, you out there in that weird stuff. I'm sorry, but I'm just telling you how God works. I'm telling you, doors that have been closed to this church, opportunities that had sat dormant for months and months and months, things that we had just given up on and said, well, I guess it's just not for us. It's just not going to happen. Miss Linda's here. Miss Nikki is in the room. They can tell you, because every one of us were just standing there scratching our heads, that immediately doors begin to open. We start getting emails and phone calls saying, hey, we're ready. Let's go. Let's do this. One after the other. One miracle after another. I had to go back and say, Lord, what I thought was going to be a real mess, you just turned it into a miracle. You know why? Because when we bless others, God takes care of our needs. That's what he does. When we bless others, God takes care of our needs. God is taking care of our needs, and I'm so thankful for it. I'm so thankful that we're able to give to missions. I'm so thankful that we're able to make a difference in ministries around the world and right here locally. We were doing that last Monday in staff meeting. Let's send $1,000 here and let's send $500 there. It's so fun to send missions money. And while we're blessing others, while we're making a difference for other people, God says, I'm not going to let you sow into everybody else and me not bless you right here. I'm not going to let you make a difference around the world and me not make a difference right here in this house. I'm going to make a difference right here. Somebody, I don't know, they don't come tell me, but they tell others and others and others, and then eventually it may, but somebody was concerned, someone was upset that we had done work on our cafe and that we had just had made an improvement, and just, I think it looks fantastic. I love going into our cafe, but someone thought that money would be better spent giving it to missions. Well, the truth is, we're giving more to missions than we ever have in the history of our church. And God said, I'm not going to let you bless people around the world and not have the things that you like or desire or want right here in the house. Is it all right if we bless others and God blesses us? Can we just take a vote? All in favor, say aye. It's all right to come to church and enjoy the campus and think, wow, I like this. There were people, all churches in the county represent. Everybody was saying, this is beautiful. I love what you're doing here. This is gorgeous. This is wonderful. I'm thankful for God blessing us, but it's not because we're keeping it or taking it or anyone is going without. It's because God is saying, I'm going to make sure that after you've blessed others, that you are blessed as well. Somebody ought to give God a praise for that. I'm not going to be satisfied until we pay this building off and we're able to give massive money, massive money to missions, make a massive difference in people's lives. I just found out in the last couple of days that we have another car to give away, another vehicle to give away. If you need a vehicle, if you're in dire straits, maybe yours is hanging on by a thread, you need to call the office this week and let us know who you are so that we can do some work and get some things ready. Who knows? It may be you that gets the next blessing. It may be you that gets the next good thing from God in your life, because if I'll keep giving cars away, if we'll just keep making a difference in people's lives. I don't know. I saw a gorgeous orange and white Bronco. What year is that Bronco? You may not even want to identify yourself, whoever drove it. Did y'all see that thing in the parking lot today? Lord have mercy, gorgeous. Gorgeous, gorgeous. That's not what we're giving away. No. No, we're not. That's not the gift. But God said, I know what you like. You think I can't bless you and make a difference in your life? Because if it doesn't happen through us, then it will not happen. I'm not going to trust in riches, but I'm going to trust in Him who richly provides. Our economy keeps us guessing every day. Society, things going on in the world, keeps us guessing every single day. But when you just stay with the economy of God, if you just continue to put Him first, I'm telling you, you can just rest easy. Let the market go high, let the market go low, let housing boom, let housing bust. You just stay faithful and consistent and invested in the things of God. And somehow, while people are climbing and while people are falling, you'll just keep riding the wave of consistency, and God will be good to you. Why? Because He's blessing people through you. That's good teaching. I promise you it's good teaching. Number three, under prosperity, the more God blesses us, the more He expects us to bless others. The more God blesses us, the more He expects us to bless others. Luke 12 and 48, much is required. Jesus speaking, much is required from those to whom much is given, for their responsibility is greater. If I've been given much, then I've got much that is required of me. If God has blessed me, then He is requiring me to be a blessing to other people. You say, Pastor Darrell, do I have to give it all away? No, you don't have to give it all away. No. He wants you to take care of everything that needs to be taken care of in your life and take care of people in your life. But the more He blesses us with, He expects us to be generous in return. So first, I need to consider how much God has blessed me. And next, I need to see how He wants me to bless others. I need to see how much God has blessed me. And then I need to see how God wants me to bless others. How does God want you to bless others? How does He want you to make a difference in someone's life? These are pillars in a that church. Pillars in a growing church. Pillars in a church that everybody can love. When we've got praise, when we've got prosperity, when people know they may walk into this house and their lives are in shambles, or their lives are broken, or their homes are in dire straits, they can come in, oh my Lord, there is prosperity for my relationships. There is prosperity for my finance. There is prosperity for my kids. I am believing God that there is prosperity in every aspect of our lives. But let me move to the third pillar. We've got praise. We've got prosperity. The third pillar of that church is power. We need praise. And it's amazing because one of these builds on the other. When you praise God and when you worship Him, it keeps elevating and graduating and line upon line and precept on precept and faith to faith and glory to glory. When we worship, we just keep finding the right key to continue opening doors and opening doors, and doors continue to open because praise gives us access to new doors and new dimensions. And then we get into those rooms and we find out just how big God is and how He wants to prosper us. But when we get in a place of prosperity, spiritual health and physical health and financial wholeness and relational health, when we get into those places of prosperity, then the Lord says, now I can trust you with spiritual power. I can trust you with a dimension of that church. Of that church will not just be a gathering or a place of fellowship, or a place of just coming together and hanging out with one another. It's not just a social place, but it is a powerful place. We love our social stuff, and I've hated, I really have. I know that's a strong word, but I really, really have disliked the last year that has taken from us so many fellowship opportunities. And it's one of the things we do as a church that's so much fun, whether it's a fish fry or it's a Thanksgiving together or it's a team church rally or it's just hanging out in the tab and doing what we do, laughing and all of that. And we're trying to plan some of those events. We're trying to do some outdoors and just slowly and carefully work our way back in to some of those fellowship opportunities, trying to get some of those things on the calendar because we want to be a gathering place. We want to be a social place. We want to be a come together place. But hear me, the church is so much more of that. There's nothing wrong with those things, and we work on them and we want more of them, but none of those things make a great church great. The thing that makes a great church great is the power of God. The power of God. We're not a perfect church. We've established that. We love our church, but we know it's not perfect. We got lots of work to do and a long way to go. We're not perfect, but it's the thing that keeps you coming back Sunday after Sunday. There's power in this room. There's authority in this room. There's the declarative power of God in this room. Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You'll be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You will receive power. I don't want to get all of the benefits of church, the community, the connection, somebody to call when I'm sick, someone to feed me when I can't feed myself. I don't want to get all the benefits of church and not have the power to change lives. Gotta have power. We're feeding 60, 70, 80 families a week through new food ministry. I'm thankful for it. Doors are just flying open, blessing and good things, and it's awesome to see what God's doing. If you're looking for a place to serve, we got places to serve every Monday, every Thursday. I know that team is growing, and it's beautiful to see a dozen or sometimes more people serving, and they've all got smiles on their faces, and it's fun. It's fun to bless other people. We always need people to serve. We can take a couple of lawnmowers right now. Not the mower, the mowers. Not the machine, the manpower. Always need people to serve. And
do what they can to make a difference, but I'm not interested in just having the benefits of a church. I need the power. The power. The power that says, Pastor Darrell, my life is in a mess. I got this situation, that situation. I'm breaking over here. I'm losing over there. I need the power of God. And he says, I'm here. I'm here to work. I'm here to move. I'm here to heal. I'm here to help. And I'm going to tell you, there are things happening. There's things happening. There are people in this room. There are testimonies in this room. I can't tell you about them. My wife can't tell you about them. They are too personal. They are too raw. They are too right now. They are too private. But I'm telling you, there is not a week that goes by that God is not doing something powerful. And I don't know why it is. It's always been this way in our pastoring church in Texas. It literally was a hospital for broken, broken, broken people. Broken people. And no one would ever know when they walked through the door. No one would ever know. They'd never know what they were going through. They would never know. They would never have any idea what God delivered them out of or the way that God band-aided or worked in their life. And I see it now 3.5 years in that God is doing the same thing. We just embrace it. We embrace it. We'll take the hard cases. We'll take the difficult cases. It's heartbreaking at times. It's backbreaking at times. It's difficult. So many, many days. So many, many nights. But we accept the call. God, open the doors to those who are hurting and those who are broken and those who are so lost and undone. And we'll do our best to get our arms around them and love them and care about them and see them restored and see them renewed and see them healed and see their lives turned around for the things of God. Why? Because there is power to do just that. There's power. There's power. You say, Pastor Dale, I'm new here. I'm not one of those people that's messed up. Come on, come on. It's not just people that are messed up. But guess what? There are no perfect people at the church. Because as soon as I got here, no perfect people in the church. Just people who say, you know what? I want to be a part of that church. There are people in this room that you've tried to leave and you couldn't leave. You just keep being drawn back. There's others that have left easily. Don't get your mind on that. Jesus said they went out from us because they were not of us. Doesn't make them a bad person. It's just not their season. It's all right. It's okay. Because here's my prayer every day. Those that leave couldn't stay, and those that stayed couldn't leave. And what we have is a church. What we have is a church where miracles happen. When we move, healing is coming in this room. This is a move. Does anybody believe that God is moving in this church? Anybody believe that God is moving in this church? Would you stand on your feet across the room? I believe God is moving in this room. I love my church. I love my church. I'm calling people to fall in love with Jesus, first of all. And then fall in love with his church.
Don't just treat his house like, well, I mean, you know, whatever. If I'm there, I'm there.
No, make a commitment. Make a decision. Make a choice. I want to be a part of that church. Praise, prosperity, power.
You may be in this room and you need the power of God today. Maybe you need the power of God today. In just a moment, this altar is going to open. And if you need the power of God, I invite you. It doesn't have to happen around the altar, though we've got plenty of room for you to distance if you need to. It can happen right where you are. But I've learned this. Nothing happens, just like the song said, until I move. And sometimes I just need to step out of the seat I'm in and take a few steps to an altar to say, Lord, I can't stay where I currently am, mentally, spiritually, or physically. I've got to make a move. And when I move, he moves. Hallelujah. Father, I pray today for people who are pillars in this church. I'm so thankful for this house. I'm thankful for what you're doing among us, in us, and through us. I'm thankful for every missions opportunity, every single ministry around the world that's being blessed and helped right here in our own community as well. I'm so grateful. I'm thankful for what you're doing in this house, the mission of this house. People who are praisers, people who are being prospered. I'm praying you would send kings, Lord. I'm praying you would send people that understand another level of prosperity to do massive kingdom work in this house. I'm thankful, Lord. I'm thankful because you're paying off this building. You're getting us completely out of mortgage debt. I'm thankful, Lord, that you are sending rain and you are prospering us. But above all of that, Lord, I'm thankful for the power of your Spirit, the power of your presence. I'm thankful, Lord, because there is healing in this house and there is deliverance in this house and there is breakthrough in this room. Today, Lord, I release miracles. I speak. Your Bible said I could command the blessing. I command the blessing today for someone in this room. I don't know who wants it that bad. I don't know who desires it that much, but I command miracles and blessing and breakthrough in this room. That today, April the 25th, 2021, would be their anniversary of breakthrough. They would look back. They would look back and say, wow, what God has done in my life. I need your power, Lord. I need your power. I need your power. While people are praying and they're singing, if you need that today, I invite you to come to this altar. I invite you to move from where you are. This is a move. If you want it today, you can have it. Come on, hands lifted across this room. Thank you, Lord.